Welcome to another City Gate Atlanta teaching. As an apostolic training and equipping center, it's our desire to empower you to fulfill your God-given destiny with tools like this teaching. For more information about City Gate Atlanta and our resources, go to citygateatlanta.org.
On Mother's Day, for the first time ever, I actually did a Mother's Day message. I usually avoid them like the plague. Not sure all the reasons why, I just always have, but I did the mother heart of the Father God. And this week, the Lord said, I want you today to partner the mother heart of the Father God with the heart of the Father. And so it's pretty simple, but sometimes, I don't know about you, but I need simple to bring me back to who God is, so that I can move with Him, not according to the ideas that I've created or that religion has created for me or circumstances have formed. I need to get back to who is our Heavenly Father. And so I'm just going to start, and I'm going to walk through some scriptures, and then I'm going to land in Psalm 1. If we begin to look, and we want to know the Father heart of God, you have to go back to Genesis 1. And God created man in His own image. In other words, what that says is God said, I want a family. I want a family. I want sons and daughters. I want representation on this planet I call Earth. I want sons and daughters who will represent me on the earth. I want a family. I'm going to walk with them. You remember it talked about the Father walking in the garden with Adam in the cool of the day. That was a picture of intimacy. It was a picture of enjoying each other's company. Fathers want to enjoy their children's company. That's where you grow. When you're little, we do all kinds of things in taking care of them. But ultimately, Father God wants to walk with us. He wants to have an intimate relationship with us where we just walk together. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And then even after the fall, when they could no longer walk together in that unhindered intimacy, the entire process of redemption was not to make sure you and I get to heaven. It was to be sure that God had a people that He could walk on the earth with. Now, we will get to heaven because of the blood of Jesus, but we also get to walk on the earth in the cool of the day with our Father God because of the blood of Jesus. He gets a family. The very thing He wanted from the beginning, through the blood of Jesus, He now has a family made up of people from every tongue and tribe, from all kinds of walks of life. We are His family. We don't look alike, but through Jesus, we have the same blood. We have the same DNA. We have been created in the image of our Father so that we can walk with Him in the cool of day. And out of that intimacy, out of that relationship with Him, God said, let them have, what was the word? Dominion. Let them steward. Let them take care of Father's business on the earth. Now, this is going to all pull together in the context of family and fathers in a moment. But God wanted a people that He would call His own, that would steward over the earth. They would be fruitful and multiply. That's not just about the fruit and the nuts and the vegetables and the animals. It's about His family multiplying. It's about us multiplying His family so that He had a family to cover the earth that would take care of it according to His original plan. See, we're not just passing through here. A lot of times religion teaches us that we're just kind of biding time and we're just walking through until we get to go to heaven. Can I tell you, if that's all there is, we're missing the majority of what God intended. He wants to walk with us, get to have us get to know him so much that we can do on the earth what he is doing in heaven. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you, right? So we are seeking his kingdom and everything else that we're looking for gets added. He also says that we are to bring his kingdom come in Matthew 6 when the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the original language, it's an imperative. It says kingdom of God come, will of God be. It's not an asking, it's a decreeing. That's taking it back to the original language. See, we've done it from this position of less than what God intended. God wants us to steward the land. If you're going to steward the land, if you're going to govern, if you're going to walk in dominion, you come into a place of union with the Father. So you know what he wants, and then you decree it into the earth. Is that making sense? It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for the immature. But see, it's a walking in partnership. It's born of relational unity and of a maturity that God says, I can trust you to partner with me. I can trust you to take care of my business on the earth because you carry my heart. See, it's not so much even about the mind, it's about carrying his heart. Because when we carry the heart of the Father, we're going to respond to situations out of his overwhelming love. We're going to respond out of his desire for people, his desire for communities, his desire for a nation. It's his heart. It's not just what he's thinking. He thinks out of his heart. See, Westerners like us, we are so mind-centric that we think everything so much, we often can't even get to what the heart of the matter is. But God as our Father moves by heart. And actually, do you know what happens with that? Your ability to think increases. Because he can open up your ability to think, to reason, not by carnal means, but by the Spirit. I remember one time my mom looked at me after I had been walking in Holy Spirit for a while, and she goes, I don't know what happened to you, but you weren't this smart. Thanks, Mom. I said, well, it's the Holy Spirit. She didn't quite know what to do with that either, but that's okay. Because I know that my ability to recall, my ability to process, my ability to understand came not by carnal means or my natural abilities. It came activated by Holy Spirit, which means, say, I can understand more than I think I can. That's for you. Because Holy Spirit can bring you into greater understanding. So at the fall, God put into motion not plan B, but plan A, because he always knew it would happen. He put everything in motion so that his original intent would be brought about and could be accomplished through sons and daughters on the earth. In Psalm 139, it's another picture into the Father heart of God. In verse 16, it says, you saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Father God knew who you were before you were a twinkle in your mom and dad's eyes. He knew what he had planned for you. He knew how he had made you. He knew the gifts and talents and abilities that were in you. I mean, obviously, Randy has an incredible gift of music, musical talent that was put in him before he was ever formed in his mother's womb. Now, he had to work and develop it, but it was in there. See, God puts a lot of things in us that don't ever get worked and developed because we don't acknowledge it. There's all kinds of potential that God put in us that he wrote in our book before we were ever formed in our mother's womb, that he's like, if you'll just get close to me, develop intimacy with me, I will unlock dreams, visions, abilities, giftings, talents. I will unlock things that have long time been shut down. I mean, y'all have heard me say this. I told God when I was 15, I'll do anything you want me to do except speak. I guess he had other plans, what you think? But see, the thing you can be guaranteed about with God's plan for you, with what he has written in the book for you, is that it is good. It's always good. It may look different than what you thought. It may look beyond what you ever dreamed it could be. But Jeremiah 29:11, and I'm reading this out of the New Living Translation, says, "For I know the plans I have for you." Aren't you glad your Father in heaven knows the plans he has for you? "They are plans for good and not for disaster." When things start happening in your life that are for disaster, you look at those things and you say, I know that's not from God. And I don't care what religion has taught you, is that God sends disaster to teach you something. That is not from God. I mean, I've heard it said, well, God let them get sick so they'll... No, that's not God. People often get sick and they do learn about God in the midst of it, but it's not because God sent it. It's because they got outside from underneath his shadow of covering and protection. When you move out from being in alignment with God, you subject yourself to some things that are resident in the earth, including demonic attack. And then God looks at his child and goes, I see you suffering. I'm going to come meet with you where you are in some supernatural ways. I'm going to uncover the disaster you're in so that you can see my heart of love and bring you back into a right relationship and into intimacy with me. See, it's a father that comes outside to rescue us. It's not the father that sends disaster. Because Jeremiah 29:11 says, my plans for you are good and not for disaster. To give you a, say, future. You have a future and a hope. Sometimes people look at the future and they go, I see no hope. Press into God. He's got hope for you. He's got hope in the midst of your darkness. See, when Father God looked at Jesus, he looked at him when he was baptized and he said, this is my what? Beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Do you know God the Father wants to say that over you? There's only one only begotten Son, Jesus. But we are all sons and daughters of the Most High God, and he yearns to speak over you. I'm well pleased. Pay attention to what this one says. And I'm going to unpack that in a minute. He's saying, not just this is my son, but this is my mature, trustworthy son. It's not just a matter of being born of God. Just like we've got three sons. They're all our sons, but they come to a place where they're mature sons. That's what our prayer is for all of our kids, right? Is that they all come to the place of maturity where we can say, this is my son. I'm well pleased. They are mature. I trust them. That's what the Father was saying. It also says, this is my son. He carries my authority. And he carries all of the resources that are mine that he needs to accomplish what I have said. See, Jesus, as a true mature son, had the authority of the Father, and he had access to all of the resources of heaven to do what God told him to do. Because he would only do what he saw the Father do. That's why it's so important when we read that Jesus said, I only do what I see or what I hear the Father doing. He doesn't say, I'll do well if I feel like it. I'll only do it if I understand it. Come on, I'm hitting on us, because a lot of times the Father tells us to do something and we go, well, I don't get it, so I'm going to wait. Now, we do have to, let me put a caveat in, we do have to ask the Father for the timing of what he's saying to do, because sometimes he will drop something into our spirit that he wants us to do, and the job for us, just like with Macon, was take a step. And when I say, no, not yet, go, okay, I'm going to keep pursuing, but I'm trusting you to pull all the pieces together. But I had to take an obedient step. Does that make sense? I had to say, Father, I'm going to do this. It may be five of us go down into Macon, but you said go to Macon and worship. I'm going to Macon and worship. And it doesn't matter if it's me standing on a hillside somewhere worshiping. I was going to go to Macon and worship, because when a prophet of that caliber sends me a video and says, go to Macon and worship, do you know what I'm doing? I'm going to Macon and worship, because that way God says, I can trust you. See, you build trust by obedience. Build trust by obedience. Now, I want to look at this word that is used for son, and it's the word huios, and it's H-U-I-O-S. Now, many of you are going to know this, but I felt like it was important that we understand the progression that we walk through as children. Because what I was seeing is that even as our Heavenly Father walks us through this process, natural fathers walk this process with their sons and daughters as well. And their ultimate goal is always that sons and daughters would walk in maturity, that they would be trustworthy, that they could walk in the fullness of what was written in the book for their life. And so when we begin to see this, I want you not, and I know how sensitive Father's Day and Mother's Day can be, believe me. I want you to look at it from the perspective of this is God's original intent, and we've all fallen short. And that's part of why I believe God had me open with that original prayer today. We all miss it. Mothers, fathers, we miss it. But there's always grace. There's always mercy. There's always a pathway of return. And God is a God of restoration. He is a God of restoration. He can restore the years of the locust ate. I've seen him do it time and time again. He can restore that. So I'm just going to pray over us. No regret. Just going to decree it over. No regret. We're looking toward the future, and we're receiving healing grace in Jesus' name. So the first word I'm going to look at is the word nepios. And that speaks of an infant, a minor, someone who is childish, who is untaught. It's that little lamb that's just come into the kingdom. There's nothing wrong with being a nepios, unless you're still a nepios after years. Then there's a problem. If you remain childish, that's what moms and dads do. We adjust childish behavior in those that are not babies, right? That's what a good parent does. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. Gibberish, nonsense, things that are immature and childish. But then we move on, and it's the word paidion, P-A-I-D-I-O-N. This is a young child, a little boy or a little girl, and it's a child under training. I like to look at this one as kind of that, you know, 3 or 4 year old up until about teenage, where they're really getting pretty hands-on teaching and training, right? They're not going to be real independent. The longer you go into it, even as educators, the further they go in, they get more independent in their studies. But when they start out and they go to kindergarten, it requires some hands-on help in the classroom, but also at home. They have to read their book to somebody, right? They're not going to go read the book by themselves. They've got to read it to someone. So that's that nepion. It is the one that is under training. It's where we're getting taught how to do the basics of life and the basics of understanding the ways of the kingdom. It's foundational discipleship. Jesus loves me, this I know. What if we just got that into us really good? You know, he wants us to grow in this place, and we begin to grow and develop into what that really means. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, "Beloved ones, don't remain as immature children in your reasoning. It is natural for a 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8 year old to be immature in their understanding." We went to dinner with our 5 and 8 year old grandkids last night. You know, there's a difference between the 5 year old reasoning and the 8 year old, almost 8 year old reasoning. She's not quite there yet. But there's a difference, and you see, and where if I look back a year or so ago when they were living with us, there's a big difference because they've grown and they've matured and they're moving forward, but they are still under training. The next one is technon, T-E-K-N-O-N. And it is a child under tutelage. It's a child that is developing in intimacy and developing in friendship. It's childlike, but not childish. There's a real difference between being childish and being childlike. Childlike is trusting. Childlike is intentionally saying, "I trust my Father." Not pitching a fit because he told you no. Childlike says, "I may not like it, but I'm going to agree." When we're relating to God in childlike faith, we may not understand everything he's saying, but we have developed enough of an intimacy and a friendship with God that we trust him, and we're going to have a willing dependence upon him. It's a willingness. And you know, one of the things that as I was studying that I really understood is it is necessary for us to develop friendship with God before we can walk in authority in God. Now that sounds real simple, but we need to get this walking in friendship that we can walk with him. Because when you walk with a friend, you know their thoughts. People that you know really well, you kind of know where how to relate to each other. You know how to connect. You anticipate, even if you go out to dinner, you kind of anticipate where they're going and what they're going to eat, and what they're going to choose. And you can sit in a car with a good friend and go for hours and not say a word, and yet you're in fellowship. And it's okay. God is wanting us to move into that place of intimacy with him that we just simply are. We're just with him. We enjoy his company. Sometimes when people are beginning to develop their relationship with the Lord, it's like there's this hesitancy to come into the presence of the Lord, right? Because it's God. I mean, really? But when you get to this place of the technon, it's like, I can't wait. I want to get into his presence. I want to just go and get in my comfy chair where I like to sit and meet with him and just be there. Tune my ear to hear his voice. Be still and know. Talk to him about the cares and the concerns of the day. Listen for his instruction. Romans 8:16 says, for the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved technon, his beloved child. Isn't it interesting, the use of word? You're my friend. I love it when you come and sit with me. Then this leads to the next phrase, the next word, which is the word huios, H-U-I-O-S. And I love this definition. It is a son, and this is not gender, it's position, okay? Sharing the same nature as the father. One who shares the same nature as their father. Being a son of God begins with being reborn. In other words, born in as a nepios. We progress and we come through paideon, and then we move through technon. And the day comes when God says, this is my mature son. This is my one who has gone through, submitted to the process of intimacy, and moved into maturity where I'm saying, I trust this one. Proverbs 8:14 says, the mature sons, the huios, of God are those who are moved by the impulses of Holy Spirit. As many as are led by Holy Spirit, these are the huios, the mature ones of God. See, to come into that place, not everyone is led by Holy Spirit. Have you noticed? Not everybody that's in the church is led by Holy Spirit. I'm just letting that one kind of settle in on us a little bit. Because often we've been taught that we're all, and this verse is used, that we're all sons of God. Can I tell you we're not? We're all children of God. But we're not all huios of God. But we can all mature into it. It's an open door if we will walk with him. If we will allow him to train, equip, and discipline us. Now, for us in the natural, as fathers and mothers, moving in the father heart of God, we love our nepios. We enjoy. I mean, we watch these little ones come in today. It just lightens my heart. Watching this one up here dancing, oh my goodness, it just, you know, delights my heart. We love that, but if they stay in that stage where you're having to do everything for them, mom and dads get really tired. I mean, if you're constantly having to change diapers, you're having to do all the feeding, you're having to do all the cleaning up, and you're having to do all the stuff, right? We've got some young moms and dads in the room. You love it and you enjoy that phase, but you're ready when it's been a couple of years or so, you're ready to move, right? You're ready for them to pick up their own toys and learn to go to the potty. It's a real deal. And then you embrace that next season with your children. You're not going to say to an 8-year-old, go run to the store for me. Right? You're not gonna tell them go do something that would be unsafe, but you will take them into the kitchen with you to learn how to make muffins or learn how to scramble eggs with you standing there because you're teaching, you're training them, you're doing stuff. So you see, you embrace and then you enjoy that season. It's a delight. See, my challenge to us is enjoy every season that you're walking through, but don't get stuck. Just like we don't want our children to get stuck, we don't want to get stuck with Father God. Then you move into that place where your children are trusting you, and they come for advice. They want you to help them know how to do the thing that's at their hand to do. They're getting ready to go off to school, and they want some help. They want some counsel to know how to prepare, how to go. You're beginning to move them out, right? But you're walking in a different way, and you're walking as not just dads and sons or daughters or moms and sons and daughters. You're beginning to emerge into this friendship. God wants to emerge into that friendship with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants us to willingly come and say, I trust you for this. I'm going to walk with you. And then it comes that place where they're on their own and you celebrate because they're making wise decisions and they're doing the things that you're going, I trust them. And this is one of the caveats out of the Jewish history, is that they would bring their sons to a coming of age ceremony, bring them out into the community and give them some gifts, and then tell everybody in the community, this is my son, this is my weos, this is my mature one. He carries my nature, he carries my authority, and he carries my resources. If he speaks, it's as though I speak. If he makes a contract with you, it's as though I make a contract with you. If he signs a check, it's as though I sign a check. Bringing it forward to our modern day. The son carries the fullness of authority and access to all of the resources. That's where God wants us to walk. That we would carry his authority and we would have the resources of heaven. And I'm going to close with just going through Psalm 1 real quick, because I saw some things in this that I'll just basically give to us as bullet points, but I'm going to read it. And I'm reading out of the Passion. What delight comes to the one who follows God's ways? He won't walk in step with the wicked, nor share in the sinner's way, nor be found sitting in the scorner's seat. His passion is to remain true to the word of I am, meditating day and night on the true revelation of light. He will be standing firm like a flourishing tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of life. He is never dry, never fainting, but ever blessed, ever prosperous. But how different are the wicked? They are like chaff blown away by the wind. The wicked will not endure the day of judgment, for God will not defend them. Nothing they do will succeed or endure for long, for they have no part with those who walk in truth. But how different it is for the righteous. The Lord embraces their paths as they move forward, while the way of the wicked leads only to doom. I believe this psalm reveals the heart of the Father for all of us. He wants us to walk in his ways. It reveals the outcome of not following the ways of the Father and the paths that he has for our life. See, one of the keys to being able to repent is to see what he prefers and what he wants for us. When you see what he has available for us and we look at our lives and we go, my life isn't lining up there. He's allowed us to see it. That calls for a response of repentance, of turning from the way we've been prone to go, the way we have determined on our own to go. And he says, I'm showing you my right way. Come over here with me. And then it's a simple, okay, God, I'm sorry. I'm coming over here with you. Help me. And do you know God loves to help us? That's what he delights to do. And it's available. I don't care how far you've run in the opposite direction. There's a pathway back. His grace is sufficient. His mercies are new every morning. He wants to bring you back. So whatever you hear in this psalm, know God has a path for return. For you, for your sons and your daughters, for everything you hold dear, there's a path back. See, the righteous are those who follow God's ways, but the wicked are those who do not and who refuse to walk in the ways of the Lord. Now, we all know that there comes a point in time where those who refuse are judged as those who refuse. But here's the way I like to look at it, and I believe it's from the Lord. As long as there is breath in their body, there is hope. As long as there's breath in their body, there's hope. Keep calling them back in. I want you to hear us the ways of the Father, what they lead to. Blessings, isn't it interesting? Nathaniel brought that word up here on the blessings of God. The ways of the Father lead to blessings and fruitfulness in every area of life. Favor, success, forward momentum, strength, being established, flourishing, prospering. Those are just some of the blessings God wants to pour out on us as we follow in His paths. And then you could keep listing, because the blessings of God are so beyond our comprehension. They're amazing. But the way of the wicked, they're unstable, on a path of destruction, indefensible, no lasting success, filled with deception, a path that leads to doom. They are the scoffers and the scorners, and there's no peace or true joy. It's a pretty sad state, isn't it? And God wants us to hear that, and that's why I believe He put it in Psalm 1, is so we would see it and go, God, I don't want to walk in that. I see what You will do with the righteous. Lead me in the path everlasting. The end of Psalm 139, search my heart and know me and show me if there is any evil or wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in Your way. We want to be led into His way. Fathers always seek to see their children as we have the heart of the Father, well established in truth. Don't we want to see our children established in truth? Planted, rooted, and grounded by living waters, filled with refreshment and nourishment. I want my kids to be well nourished, but I also want them to have great times of refreshment and fun. Come on, we want to enjoy life. Let's enjoy all of it. Fathers want their children to be planted according to original design, to be and to do according to the way God created them. That what is written in their book, that they would discover it and walk in it. As parents, we watch how our children and our grandchildren, how they're, if you can use this word, wired. What are they prone to? What are they interested in? It would have been pointless to try to train me up to be an engineer. The brain would not go there. Now, my son, youngest son, absolutely engineer to the core, but not me. We have to know, train up a child in the way he should go isn't about making him behave properly. It's about discovering the pathway God has for them. That'll give you liberty. Just will. You don't have to be somebody or not. The Father wants us deeply rooted, so that we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine or every whim and idea that blows by. He wants us to be fruitful in every season of life and over every area of our life, with number one, our relationship with Him, and then our relationship with our fellow man. He wants us fruitful in our personal lives, that we are fruitful in the things that He's put in our heart, that we're fruitful in our maturity, we're fruitful in every arena of your life. Whatever area of your life you think of, God wants you fruitful in that area. He wants your family to be fruitful. That doesn't mean just having kids, though if you're in that age, go for it. we'll have grandkids and little babies around. It's fine with me. I just, not any more personal. He wants us fruitful in our friendships. Friendships take time. They take effort. They take nurturing. God wants our friendships to be fruitful. He wants you fruitful in your education. Give yourself completely to what He's given you to. Fruitful in the community of faith. Fruitful in your work. Begin to decree God's fruitfulness and blessings over the work of your hands. That you will be fruitful and multiply in your jobs, in your employment, in your career. That you're not just squeaking by. I loved what Nathaniel said, that so many don't believe in the blessings of God. We should be the most blessed people on the planet. The poverty mentality that was taught in the church for so long is not rooted and grounded in the Word of God. It's just not. That comes out of an Augustinian vow to Lady Poverty, and we break it off in Jesus' name. It is selfishness to say, I only need enough to get by. We should have enough to enjoy life. God wants you to enjoy life. Can you say, God wants me to enjoy life? And then we should have more than enough to give to somebody else, to share and to bless. If you can't even pay your own bills, you can't bless anybody. We have got such twisted thinking on some of this. So prosper in your work. Be blessed in your work. In your recreation. In your finances. In your health. God wants you blessed and fruitful in every area of your life. And as mothers and fathers carrying the father heart of God, we want that for our natural children. We want it for our spiritual children, and we want it for the generations and the ages yet to come. That, I believe, is what God wants for us as His children, that we would be His mature sons and daughters, entrusted to walk in the authority so that we can go and bring the Father's business into the earth. What is the Father's business? Making this place look like heaven. If we are able to bring the heart of the Father into a community in such a way that people go, why is this community thriving so much? Why is this group of people abounding in joy? Relationships are good. Healings are happening. Deliverance is happening. And they begin to look and go, they've got something I want. The blessings of the Lord are on them. I don't understand that. I want it. We should be provoking the lost with jealousy for the Lord. Would you stand with me? Father, we love You. We are so grateful. So grateful that You are our Father. So grateful that Jesus paid the price that we could be born again into Your family. And so grateful, Father, that You didn't leave us alone just at being born again, but You sent Holy Spirit, and You sent tutors and teachers, spiritual fathers and mothers along our path to help us grow and mature into all You created us for, so that we could be those that walk with You in friendship, and then that You say, this one, these people, my mature ones, I'm entrusting them with the authority of the kingdom. I'm entrusting them with the resources of heaven the angelic host, the provision, everything that is needed to fulfill what I wrote in their book, individually, as families, as ministries. God, we want to come into the fullness of what you have ordained, that you, our Father, may receive glory and honor, praise and dominion forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day. We love you all, and we will see you Tuesday night and next Sunday. We do have some people that would like a ride next Sunday down to Macon. So if you're going and you are interested in having carpool, let us know. I'm looking forward to next Sunday. It's going to be a full day, but it's going to be fun. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the City Gate Atlanta teaching. We hope you were encouraged, exhorted, and equipped. For more information about City Gate Atlanta, our resources, or upcoming conferences and events, go to citygateatlanta.org.